You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Well, you know, when I started preparing, this has been a message that's been in my heart probably for the past few weeks, and I've shared a little bit at the prayer meeting on Thursdays, and I've decided that I'm going to minister on this because many people are battling with that, and it's thoughts. What does the Bible say about it? And if I was going to preach everything today, you're going to be here for a very long time. So I'm going to do it over the next 2 weeks. So don't miss next week. And if you know of people that are battling with thoughts, invite them next week. Amen. Your thoughts are so critical because what you think affects your life and your behavior. Matter of fact, your thoughts, what happens in your mind happens in time. That's why you have to be very careful what you think. Especially the overthinkers. Remember, as a Christian, not even as a Christian, but as a human being, you're a three-part being. So you're a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. So when you become born again, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your spirit is justified just as if you've never sinned. One day when you die, your body will be glorified. But until then, you need your soul to be sanctified. Your will, your intellect, and your emotions has to be reformed and renewed. The one thing that can separate between our soul and our spirit is the Word of God. Have you ever sat and you said, am I thinking this now? Or am I believing it? Is this coming from my heart or is this coming from my mind? Ever had that conversation with yourself? Should I follow my heart? Do I follow my mind? What is mind? What is... And the Bible says the only thing that can separate between your soul and your spirit, bone and marrow, is the Word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of man's heart. So this will reveal to you what's going on in here and what's going on here. That's very good. When you know the difference, amen? When is my heart speaking to me? And when is it thoughts up here? Now it's important to know that God wants you to serve Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. So God wants you to serve Him with everything. But sometimes our thoughts get contaminated. Thoughts become words. Words become actions. And your actions determine your future. So what happens in your mind happens in time. Turn to the person next to you and say, think about what you are thinking about. Because what you think, you're going to start to say. And the Bible says that the tongue is like a small rudder. And what you say with this, the rudder determines in what direction the boat goes. James 3 verse 4, look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. If I walk into this church, Hendrik always greets me. But let's say Hendrik doesn't greet me. And now I get over and I say, I'm never, ever going to speak to him again. By just saying that, my whole life goes into a direction where I cut him off. And all his strengths that could have strengthened me cannot strengthen me anymore. And all my strengths that could have cannot do that because of one word that I've spoken. Many of you have spoken things like that. I'll never talk to them again. And people that could have helped you cannot help you now because of what you've said. Henry Ford said something very interesting. He says, whether you say I can or whether you say I cannot, it's true. Just by what you say, I can do it or I cannot do it, steers your life in a direction of living as an overcomer or somebody that just walks away from every challenge. Turn to the person next to you, say, be careful what you think. Proverbs 23:7, you know it. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What does that mean? It means what you believe and what you say is who you'll become. So they've taught us all to say the glass is half full. When you look at the glass, remember the glass is half full, because then we know you're positive. And many people know when they look at the glass, they must say it's half full. But on the inside, you feel half empty. So it's what you believe and say is who you become. So the real question that we have to ask ourselves, how can I be positive in a negative world? How can I be positive in a negative world? Because we have to be the ones with the difference. The Spirit of God is positive, brings light and life. I can pray for you. I can disconnect you from whatever the enemy is using to connect himself to you. But if you don't change your way of thinking, not much will change. So you're going to have to change your way of thinking, your way of doing things. And unfortunately, this world teaches us the wrong way. But the Bible teaches us the right way. Let me see, who's overthinkers? Who, when you've been thinking about something and you've made a decision, then you start thinking about what you were thinking about? So, if you're serious about dealing with your thoughts, let's just get straight into it. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace. We want to surrender every thought unto you to be viewed in the light of God's word. Help us to be one with a difference in Jesus' mighty name. Touch our hearts, change our hearts, O Lord, to become more like you. As I minister, let your people hear your voice upon my voice and bring change, O Father. Place courage in our hearts to change, O Father. And we thank you for that. We bless you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Look at James 1 verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Number one, if you want to change your way of thinking, be slow to speak. Turn to the person next to you and say, slow to speak. Slow to speak, lay aside. Can you see this action involved? Lay aside all the wrongful thinking. Lay it aside. And then receive with meekness the word of God into your heart. What does that mean? It means believe this more than what you hear people are saying. Can I say it again? Some of you trust Instagram, Facebook more than the Word of God. There's even some people there with spiritual things that you can follow. How to be the better you. I hope there's not somebody out there that's getting angry now. I'm just using it as an example. How to get a better you. But the better you is not using the Bible as the standard. So the better advice they're going to give you is advice out of the world. If you go on Facebook today, you just see people speaking their mind. If they feel upset, they'll tell you they're upset. But that's not the biblical way. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, a fool vents all his feelings. It's foolish to say everything you feel, because feelings can change. But a wise man holds them back and first calms down. Think about it. Write the angry email. Write the upset email, but don't send it. Get it out. Put it on paper, but don't send it.
Then the next day you read it again.
Turn to the person next to you, say, common sense. Proverbs 29:11, you can recognize fools by the way they give full vent to their rage and let their words fly. But the wise bite their tongue and hold back all they could say. A wise man zips it. Don't say everything you feel, because feelings can change. Faith is also not a feeling. Because if faith is a feeling, then your faith, when you get up in the morning and you're feeling good, your faith will be up there. But if you woke up in the morning and the cat is on the wrong side of the bed or something, then you feel upset, then your faith is down there. Faith is not a feeling. If you say everything you feel, this rudder will steer your life into a direction where you should not be. People can come here. The worship was a little bit longer this morning. So I'm never coming back to this church because the worship was too long. You know, you can just be steering your life away from a heavenly atmosphere. Or you can say, I'm going to come try that again. Something was happening there. You know what's the worst kind of feeling you can have? Fear. Because fear is more deceptive than Satan himself. Fear paralyzes you. Fear makes a small thing look much bigger than what it is. The good thing about fear is fear always attacks you from the outside and wants to get in. So don't open the door for fear, because fear is a doorkeeper for many other things. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Look at the Passion Translation. For God will never give you the spirit of fear. So number one, if you experience fear and anxiety, it's not of God. Can I have an amen? But the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So don't let fear rule you. Amen? A matter of fact, let me give you a heads up according to the Word of God. If you go to the book of Luke 21, it warns us and it says, in the last days. Who of you think we're in the last days? The Bible warns us and says, in the last days, fear would cause many people's hearts to faint. Turn to the person next to you, say, heads up. Fear is going to attack you. But you don't have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. A matter of fact, two verses later on, it says, when you see this happening, know that redemption is drawing near. Can I just say, when you feel fear tries to grip your heart, you have to train your mind to say to yourself, redemption is on its way. Solution is on its way. And not start to think about that negative thing. I'm not even included, but Matthew says, don't worry about tomorrow. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Fear changes your focus, that you cannot do what you're supposed to do. It weakens our determination and our willpower. It paralyzes your potential. People that say, what am I going to do in this nation? Will I find a job? God can make a way where there seems to be no way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Fear will increase what you are looking at to look out of proportion, much bigger than what it really is. I can resist the spirit of fear with you. I can pray for you. I can pray that the blood of Jesus will cover you. I can do all those prayers. I can pray for you. But what are you thinking after I've prayed for you? Because if you go back to your old habits of meditating upon the negative things and you don't renew your mind, you're going to fall back in that. Because the person you're going to believe more than anybody else is yourself. Turn to the person next to you and say, keep the door closed on fear. So listen to me. Fear will always attack from the outside. And fear wants to get in and grip your heart. Because if it's got your heart, then you start believing it. But this word has got the ability to cut in between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, to discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart, to tell you what is real and what is not real. So it's not just about praying for you. You have your part to play. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have your part to play. If you want to live a victorious life, mind management is required. You have to manage your mind like everything else. The most important thing is your attitude after you've been prayed for. What do you say? What do you believe? What do you confess? Because many times you pray for people and they say, it doesn't work. No, prayer works. The name of Jesus has got authority. We have victory in the realm of the spirit. But we don't have control over your mind and your thoughts. That's your responsibility. Somebody can be the most beautiful person, but if she's been told the whole time that she's ugly, even if you come and tell her you can win Miss World, no. They don't believe it. Why? Because believing is something that happens from the inside. That's why Jesus comes from the inside. Sanctifies your heart. Can I have an amen? Sanctifies you from the inside, gives you peace on the inside, that although there's a storm on the outside, you can have peace on the inside. That's the gift of a Christian. So you have to get to a place where you start dealing with your thoughts. Romans 12 verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Turn to the person next to you and say, think better. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you want to know God's will, His good, acceptable, and perfect will, you're going to have to change your way of thinking. Look at what the Passion Translation says. Stop imitating ideals and opinions of the culture around you. What is that? That is everything that you're on here that shapes your views, the way that you say, the way that you talk, the way that you respond. It's not determined by this, by the Word of God. And opinions of everything around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. That's why James says, receive the Word of God with meekness into your heart. And then from the inside, it will start to transform you. Turn to the person next to you, say, a little bit more Bible reading does wonders for the soul. So this empowers you to be able to discern what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. So mind management is the first priority for victorious living. If you want to live victorious, if you want your life to go from where it's right now to where you know God wants to take it, you're going to have to manage your thoughts. The thoughts that dominate your heart and your thinking are the very things that dominate and control your life and the direction of your life. You have to allow God's Word to dominate your heart. When you allow the Word of God to become an integral part of your life, by its very nature, it will start to change you from the inside, where you can start walking with God, planning with God, and you will start to declare and say what God is saying because you've got heaven's opinion. After 40 years in the desert, Joshua is ready to go into the promised land. 10 guys were negative, and their negativity, they spoke into existence, and a whole nation couldn't enter into the promised land. Turn to the person next to you. I'm going to touch on it next week. But the people you hang around with will determine where you're going. If you have negative people around you, don't expect to be positive. Even if you're the most positive person, God has placed me here around all these negative people. Man, you don't throw a boiling kettle into a cold swimming pool. It's going to go, shh. Bad company corrupts good morals. Unless God gives you an assignment to be there, but then you better make sure that you've been equipped to be there. God speaks to Joshua and he says, okay, you're going into the promised land. This is how you're going to do it. You want to live a victorious life. Those negative thoughts, here's how you're going to deal with it. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He says this, read it and let it be in your mouth. And you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditation is the language of the heart. So take a scripture a day and meditate upon it. Take a scripture. And just meditate upon it. What does it mean? Did God speak to you? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your ways prosperous and then you will have good success. The word in your mouth. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to have to say it. Sometimes take certain things out of the word of God. And pray it. Meditate day and night. Meditation is the language of the heart. Because when you meditate, meditation brings revelation. And when you have revelation of something, it sticks. Then nobody can change your mind about it. When you think right, you'll believe right, then you'll speak right, then you'll behave right. You need the Spirit and you need the Word. For God to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. It is the Spirit who gives life, then the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. That's the Word. Every time you declare this, it's light and life into a situation. When you pray Psalm 27 or 25 or 71 or 91, whatever, and you're declaring it over your family, 91 as protection, it's light and life that you're declaring over them. Amen. Our declaration, our church declaration. It's just scripture. Every line is a scripture that's being quoted. We have so many testimonies about it. Next week, adults, next week I'm bringing a child up here that's going to do the declaration. How is it that a child can know the declaration and we as adults know? You know what's happening with this declaration? He had to recite something at school. And he said, I'm going to recite the declaration. And he's declaring the word of God to his whole school. Amen. That's what the word of God will do. It will open ways for you because it's light and life that you're declaring. The more you yield to the word, the more the Spirit of God can work in you, with you, and through you. You know, I've shared it many times, but it's such a wonderful testimony. I just want to share it again. You know, there was a time when Belinda and myself had a bad report from doctors. Not bad report. You're never going to have children. That kind of a report. I said, what? How can that be? That cannot be. I'm then a pastor. How can a report like that come to me? Bad reports come to pastors as well. Like bad report can come to you. And they said, we will never have children. That was the report. And those were facts. But you know, one day when I was reading the Bible in Romans 4, I read there, who contrary to hope, in hope, became the father of many nations. So shall it be with your descendants. And that scripture just lit up in my spirit. And I said, God, what are you saying to me? He said, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Who contrary to hope, where they say there's no hope, believed in hope. And he became a father. He said to me, your firstborn will be a daughter, a girl, and you must call her Hope. I said, God. And that was the only scripture for many years I just held on to that scripture. Was it sometimes tough? Yes, it was tough. The stuff. We had to wait 5 years, 60 months. You know what that means? It means 60 times there was a report of there's not hope yet. But you know what we did in those days? I went back to this one scripture, and I would meditate upon it until it became revelation. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed and became the father of hope. She's going to be a little girl. Then somebody would come and say, we see a vision of a little girl running around with curly hair. I say, I like that. I'm going to take it. I started meditating upon a little girl running around with curly hair. I'm helping you now. When your negative thoughts wants to go to places, it's the time to say, there was a vision of a little girl with curly hair. Let me start meditating upon that. Then it became revelation that we will have a little girl. I said, my wife, let's paint the room. We painted the room. I'm not saying you should do the same, but this is what we painted the room. We painted that room so nicely. If you don't know that about me, I had art until matric. So I did beautiful flowers on the walls and every. I did a girl room. That room was so beautiful, it won a competition. You can ask my wife. So it wasn't play faith, it was real faith. It was like beautiful flower paint faith. When you think about your problem the whole time, you lock in the troubles. But when you start meditating upon the Word of God, you open doors of solutions and opportunities. And that's what we did. I thank God it was 5 years. Abraham waited 25 years. Amen. So bless his soul. I thank God that my faith was 5 years. Amen. I know Andre and you guys, you waited 10 years. 10 years. Amen. So if you've been waiting for a promise, meditate. Meditation is the language of the heart, and meditation brings revelation. That even though there's no child, you know there's going to be a child. When the Word of God dominates your mind, it will influence your behavior to start to paint rooms with little flowers and get everything ready for the baby. But when the Word of God does not dominate your heart, you start packing away everything. And so, okay, then. When fear grips your heart, it makes that problem this much bigger. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. That's why you have to manage your thoughts. Let me tell you something. When you are battling with negative thoughts, read this Word of God attentively, systematically, and where a scripture stands out, meditate upon it. So I've shared now what to do, but many times people are doing this, but nothing's changing. Let me see your hand. Come on, this should be real. Why? Because you're going to have to deal with the negative first. I can be in the Ferrari, and I can have my foot on the petrol to move forward. I'm saying the best vehicle to move forward. But if the handbrake is up, we're going nowhere. We're just spinning. So the negative thought is the handbrake. You have to get that down. And I'll show you now from Scripture where the Bible says, deal with the negative thoughts first. Slow to speak. Lay aside all the things. Let the Word of God come in. But now we're going to deal with this. Amen? Because your biggest battle is not your wife, is not your spouse, is not your boss. Your biggest battle is your mind. That's the real spiritual warfare. You can sit here, say hallelujah, but you're thinking, I will say hallelujah. What hallelujah from where? Do you know what I'm facing? Am I talking to the right people here? So let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. It says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So this is not a battle in the flesh. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Can you see that dealing with negative thoughts is very active? Pulling down, casting aside, taking captive. Not just, Oh, let me just think, God, if you want to remove the thoughts, remove it. It's nothing like that. It's a spiritual warfare. Strongholds are deeply rooted lies. Wrong beliefs, wrong habits, wrong thought patterns. What do I mean by this? Do you know what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a bunker. We've all now seen the war that's going on when they take somebody into a bunker. They take them to a place that even though bombs fall there, they're safe. That's a bunker. That's a stronghold. So many people have such deeply rooted lies. No, I'm not negative. Can I prove to you, can I do a little test on you quickly to see if you maybe have a negative stronghold? When people call you on the phone, or your mother calls you, or your boss calls you, mom calls you, hello, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong, I'm just calling to you, how are you doing? Now, what's wrong? Where's the what's wrong people on the phone? Just raise your hand. Yeah, come on. That means you, your default setting. I'm not saying every time if you ask what's wrong, you know, when you run a business or there's something happening at school, sometimes I'm not saying everybody that asks what's wrong are negative. But I'm saying if that's your default setting, I mean, that's the negative highway you are traveling on or the negative detour off-ramp that you always take, you probably have a stronghold you're going to have to deal with. Turn to the person next to you and say, I might have a stronghold or two. Negative patterns are habitual highways. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? You know, many times I have people that come and they dream dreams. And if you dream dreams, come and ask that we can interpret it for you. Amen. But the people will come and say, I had a dream about a dog barking and want to bite me. And this thing's troubling me. Something's wrong. I say, what did you dream? No, this dog wants to bite me. I say, did the dog bite you? No, the dog didn't bite me. I say, that's very good. That means Jesus is telling you, don't fear the dog. There are dogs out there that want to bite you, but it couldn't bite you. He's protecting you. Oh, I feel now relaxed. So all that God is actually saying in the dream, I'm protecting you, but because you're thinking, dog that wants to bite me, negative, bad dog. There are dogs around you the whole day, every day, amen? Like there's demons around you every day. If it wasn't for God's grace and protection, where would we be? So number one, let me just close with this. If you want to change, you're going to have to change your way of thinking. I think the first thing is become aware. Go and just think. Go listen to what you're saying, because your heart will always snitch on you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's a negative treasure here, just go think about the conversations you usually have and say, okay, you know what? I think there's some bunkers, there's some strongholds that I'm going to have to deal with. The good news is Jesus came to deal with those deep hurts. He came to heal the broken heart. Amen? Joshua and Caleb, it was 10 friends that looked at the situation and it overwhelmed them. And they say, we cannot go in. And two says, we can go in. And the 10 that said, we cannot go in, they couldn't go in. And the two that said, we can go in, they went in. So sometimes when you see things that overwhelm you, zip it. Don't say anything. And get God's opinion on that situation. Some of you have identified some deep lies where the enemy says, you're not worthy. You're never going to make it. Your family has got a bad history. Your great-great-grandfather was an alcoholic. Nothing came of him. Your grandfather was one. Your father was one. And you're going to be one as well. Am I talking to the right people here? And you believe a family line more than what you believe the Word of God. That's why there's a story of Jabez in the Bible, where the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than all his brothers. And when his mother gave birth to him, she gave birth to him in pain, so much pain that she called him he who causes pain. What am I saying to you? I'm saying it doesn't matter if the world or circumstances has labeled you as something. The Bible says, then Jabez called upon the God of Israel to bless him, to enlarge his territory, that his hand would be over him, that he would keep evil away from him, and that he would not cause pain. And the Bible says the Lord granted him his petition because he put his faith in God and not what the world had labeled him. Some of you have allowed the world and circumstances and friends to label you, and you believe more what the world says about you than what the Word of God says to you. If you've made mistakes, if you've had relationships that's broken down, a business that failed, a child that's naughty, whatever, that does not define you. The Word of God defines us. Everybody makes mistakes, but God gives us a second chance. It's time for us to make decisions, get our thinking right, that God wants to bless us, that God wants to help us, that God wants to take us from where we are to where He wants you to be, that God wants us to have happy marriages. Not the first disagreement we have, we blow up and walk away. First time your boss upsets you, you don't fire me, I quit, bye. And then what? What happens at the end of the month? Give the Lord a hand. We're going to change all that thinking and show you how you can live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Do you know what's the good news? Let me just close with this. You know what's the good news? You said it in the beginning. You said, I can see Jesus in you. Remember you said that? When you said that, I've been doing that for years because we're speaking a solution into being. I can see Jesus in you. I see Him in your eyes. I hear Him in your voice. And it brings hope to my heart because I know Jesus Christ is my hope and my glory. Colossians 1:27, the Passion Translation says, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us become a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for His people, and God wants everyone to know it. Can I tell you, let me just put it to you straight. The Christ that's on the inside of you already, that mustard seed faith, is enough word to change your whole situation. It was my Romans 4, who contrary to hope in hope, it was enough word to bring revelation, to bring change, when I just kept on holding on to that word. Amen? So you have to decide, am I going to hold on to the negative? You'll never have children? Or are you going to start holding on to that scripture, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed, and you start holding on to the positive? It's your decision. You decide, no, that's my report, and what makes me special is the report of the doctor. Some people, sometimes when you talk about them, what makes them special is what all the negative reports. Oh, you must just know, you 1 in 10 million that's got this unique situation. It's so unique that the Word of God cannot even help you. Just live with it. That's nonsense. It's not special to have a 1 in 10 million thing. It's special when God intervenes and deals with it. That's special. That's a testimony. So the question is it possible to be positive in a negative world? Yes. And I'm going to show you from next week practically how to do it so that you can start living in victory. What to do, how to apply the Word of God, what to say. Sometimes you have to disconnect from some people and start connecting to the right people. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.